Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
From the WEEI studios, brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
The destination for Boston sports fans.
Sports Radio 93.7. WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston.
An Odyssey station. Time for the best baseball show you're ever going to find on the radio.
Ballpoint, ball, net, net, ball, net, done.
Rob Bradford of WEEI.com and Steve Peralt of the Section 10 podcast are making the greatest game great again, 2 hours at a time.
We have some pillows. We have some pillows on the dirt.
No football, no basketball, no hockey. Just the most entertaining baseball talk you've ever experienced. It's the live BP baseball show.
If you hit the man with the ball, then he may run to the pillows.
With Bradfo and Peralt on EEI.
All right, here we go. Live BP.
Here we go.
Steve Peralt. That's the voice of Steve Peralt. Section 10 podcast. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. You name it.
Steve Peralt of Reese's. Yeah.
Of Reese's. That congratulations sense. On your next level.
Still
employment.
Waiting on the sponsorship money. But
I'm Rob Bradford. And we knew Steve this time was going to be coming. When we started this venture back in February, and we said, you know what, there's going to be a time where Rob's going to be in Houston overlooking people taking infield practice at Minute Maid Park, and Steve's going to be bracing himself with his peanut butter cup outfit, and we knew this time was coming, and unfortunately for the Red Sox, that time that has arrived has them down 1-0.
So yes, Steve, they are down 1-0.
Well, first of all, I want to ask you how you are.
I'm well. I was going to ask you how you are. For the first time in a long time, I actually went out last night and had a couple bevvies and watched around the garden area, had a fun time doing that. But I didn't have a fun time from like the sixth inning on, I got to say. I didn't agree with how the latter half of the game went. I greatly disagreed with it, actually. But you always talk about boots on the ground, Rob Bradford. Mm. You are the ultimate boots on the ground performer right now. I want to know what's going on in Houston. I need, outside of the infield practice right now, I want to know what's going on.
Well, I can tell you, there is a Red Sox player, and I think it's Xander Bogaerts. He's sitting on the stool that the ball boy actually messed the game.
Oh, my God. Can we just do a whole show on that?
Yes. I mean, and Lou has got like a million hits off his John Boy-like breakdown.
I know.
Okay. So before we go on, Steve, let me set the scene here.
Please
all right.
Do.
As
Please
I said,
do. Yep.
We are going to be on up until the Red Sox pregame show just after 3 o'clock. And you can weigh on in. And I'm sure everyone is all riled up. Everyone has their thoughts. Everyone has their opinions. 617-779-7937. Oh, actually, it was Eduardo Bizzardo. Eduard Bizzardo. That's who was sitting on the stool.
I could tell, yeah. I could tell by how you were talking about.
We said, Eduard, go out and taunt the Houston Astros by sitting on the stool.
And that's what
So I am at Minute Maid Park overlooking people taking fielding practice, and that's Steve Peralt. So I would say this, Steve. You know, I wrote about this. I came away from last night's game, and I felt like the Red Sox actually said, okay, you know what? The Astros aren't that good. We can hang with the Astros.
Yeah.
I mean,
I hope they're feeling that way based on what happened.
Well, didn't we have that sort of narrative heading into this series where, okay, you beat the Yankees and you beat the Rays, but the Astros are a different ball game, and they're better pitching, their lineup is better, so forth and so on. But you know, that you stared down the Astros with a 2 2/3, what was it? Yeah, 2 2/3 inning outing from Chris Sale. You head into the sixth inning up 3-1. And yeah, you know, you lost the game. You gave up two key home runs, which, as you point out, probably was not a good idea.
Yeah, they shouldn't have done that. That's what I would have tweaked, Rob. But continue.
Bad strategy.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I think that, you know, Alex Cora, his demeanor after the game, the press conference, and the great Ian Brown references. I tried to keep him anonymous, but he said, I don't care. Let the world know that I said it. Mm. But he said, like, I've never seen Cora act like that after a loss. And I agree with him.
How was he, by the way? Because I wasn't able to see the postgame stuff.
Yeah, it was sort of like super good mood, super confident, super kicking the chair back. And yeah, you know what? We made two bad pitches, but it was a good game. But it wasn't sort of false. There was no trying to pretend like you're not upset when you really are upset. There was a very real demeanor when it came to Alex Cora after the game that was striking. And then you hear Chris Sale, what he had to say, and we don't have ton of access to a ton of players after the game.
Yeah.
But the guys that we did see, that's the feeling that I got, right?
Yeah,
I don't know how you felt.
I did want to ask you, because I got to give you credit, Rob. You're tweeting out a lot of valuable things, starting with that baseball, the video of a bunch of baseballs that they have outside of the Minute Maid Park. So that was a good job by you. But overall, though, what was your opinion of Chris Sale? Not just the performance, but I didn't get to see his postgame or anything like that. But how was he acting after that outing? Because once again, as a Sox fan, you're watching Chris Sale and you're like, I don't know if I know this version of this guy. I don't know if this is the Chris Sale that we have all come to know with the Red Sox. And it's very uncomfortable when you look up. You could look down for 2 seconds. You look back up. The bases are loaded every time he's out there. And it's really killing this. I mean, I understand that, you know, Cora probably wanted to get him back on track. I don't know if the game one start was the place to do that. But, when in doubt, I always know that Alex Cora knows far more than I do in terms of how to set up this rotation. But what's your overall feeling of how Sale not only performed but was after the game?
Well, you know, and Lou said this, and I agree with him, which is, you know, when it comes to Chris Sale, the game, it wasn't a good outing by Chris Sale. No one's going to say it is. Yeah. Because not only did you only last for 8 outs, but also you were in trouble the entire time. And you did throw your change up, but it wasn't like a pitch that you actually were relying on. It was primarily, hey, try to hit my fastball. I'm going to mix in an occasional slider. But, you know, I think that you know, you got to a place in the sixth inning because of the bullpen, because of Brazier and Josh Taylor and Ottavino, that you would have taken every single time. So however they did it, it worked. Now, in terms of his demeanor after the game, he absolutely felt, okay, this was a step forward. I felt better about the way I threw it, and fastball was better. And going forward, he feels probably like he's on the right track, certainly more than he was the last two starts. We don't know that. It's the same thing, Steve, when we heard the last couple of days, and we talked about this, where like, oh, he's been tinkering things. He's been working on things. He thinks he found something. All right. What, you know, okay. Like, whatever. It's a results business. But my point is that I think that his demeanor after the game, he genuinely thinks the next time he pitches, the results will be better.
And I kind of, overall, when Sale is out there, you still expect him to do well. You still expect him to perform at a high level. But I don't really need, that's why I don't need the, oh, we found something in the windup or, you know, the delivery's a little bit off. I don't think anybody needs that because they understand he's been there, he's done that. If he's off a little bit right now, that's fine. Maybe you use him as a bullpen guy, get a couple innings out of him against lefties. That's fine. Like, he can still be that guy, and it's not like Sox fans are going to be, you know, all bummed that he's not going 7 innings as a starter. Like, they can still, realistically, and I can't believe I'm saying this, realistically, they could still win this series without starter Chris Sale. So
yeah, I think they could use him. I mean,
no,
right?
Of course. But last night, it's like, you know, Cora joked about the opener thing, but he basically is an opener.
He was
last
an
night.
Opener, right?
Right?
Yeah,
so it's like we can joke all we want, and I understand from Alex Cora's perspective, he wants to make it seem like, guys, come on, this is, you know, what we're talking about here. This is Chris Sale. Like, obviously, he's not an opener. But let's all be real now. He is an opener, so it's fine if that's the case. But I would rather use him as the reliever guy that could potentially get some lefties out then, you know, act like he's Chris Sale from 3 years ago. He's not. He's not right now.
No, but I think that it's funny you said that, because if you look at the Chris Sale you saw last night and you say, okay, what is the best spot for him? Well, this guy who's blowing an average of 96 miles an hour had a really good fastball. His slider, I thought, got better as the game went on.
Yeah.
He became a two-pitch pitcher. But you know why when it's okay to be a two-pitch pitcher? When you're a reliever. That's
it's
okay.
It's true.
Yeah, so I think that, this is why I know that Ken and Curtis were talking about in the last line, how this, you know, I put this something to effect of like how this loss probably felt more like a win in some ways. And
I always hate that.
But that's the vibe. I mean, like, we talk about vibe. That was the vibe after last night's game. And a big part of it, Steve, also, is this realization, I think, across the board, including Alex Cora, that, oh, thank God, we don't have the one-game season. Oh, thank God, we don't have a best of five. We have a best of seven.
That does matter. Understandable that most of the team last night is not going back to the hotel all crushed that they lost game one in Houston. By the way, and you're, again, boots on the ground, Rob Bradford in Houston. Doesn't it just feel like the same song and dance with this team? I feel like I've watched that game last night a million times in the last 5 years where, oh, the Astros might be down, but here come the common characters, right? Here comes Altuve. Here comes the Correa bomb where he stands there and points at his watch or points at his wrist like it's my time. I hate that guy. I love, like, it's good to have players that you hate. I think a lot of people, last night specifically, Jeff Passan and I are totally fine. People think we actually have a real beef. That's not a real beef. I just like ripping him on Twitter because he always does his little monologue recaps of the games, and it's like, okay, good job, Jeff. But when you mention Correa, he's the perfect guy to hate. Because the way he handled the whole cheating scandal, the way he constantly is always ready to bash anybody that brings up that the Astros have done sketchy stuff, you have done sketchy things. Like, people aren't just mentioning that, oh, they're known to do things for no reason. It's because you have done the trash can stuff, potentially the buzzer stuff. This is what you've done. So, of course, people are going to come at you. And then, I know Vasquez, that had to hurt for Vasquez, because I know they're probably boys. He's like, this guy's standing at the plate for like 20 minutes after hitting a home run in the short porch and left. But either way, Rob, that's what it feels like to me. It feels like it's the same old song and dance when you go down there in Houston, especially with the Red Sox. Understandably, in 2018, they took care of business. That team is the greatest Sox team ever, so it's not like you're dealing with the same club here. But that's what it feels. Does it feel like that in Houston? Because that's what it seems like.
Yeah, well, first off, so the introduction for Cora was nothing. It was nothing. And the crowd was only like 60% full when that happened
Care. I don't think they care.
Yeah, it's more of like, You have to be here to sort of understand there's cheerleaders, there's a lot of game presentation, there's a lot of, you know, people, hey, this is a social event, we're going to go out, wear our orange, cheer loud. And they're a loud crowd, there's no doubt about it. The one thing that, like, I don't want to tweet this because I just don't want to waste my time going back and forth with the Houston people.
Yeah.
But it's this Houston versus everybody thing. Come on. Like,
that's
really?
Not surprising, though, right? I mean, of course they're going to have that
attitude. But here's the thing. Like, just don't mention it. Like, don't, like, the Houston versus everybody thing, like, here's the, you know why you won? You won because you cheated.
Yeah.
Like, you won because, it is what
pretty
it
clear.
Is.
Yeah.
They aren't going to take it away from you. It is what it is at this point. But the hey, you know what? How dare you get on us? How dare you criticize us? That's the vibe. Well, of course you dare. Of course.
And that's why everyone hates them, right? It's
right.
Like, you can't even just say, okay, yeah, that was probably a tainted World Series. Just admit that.
Yeah, well, but they're digging in on it. I mean, they're digging in, like, how dare you do this? And I think Correa is at the top of the list. And this is why I think a lot of players are like, really? You're treating it like this? And then you go to the home run last night. And I'm not going to be the guy who's like, oh, don't celebrate.
Do it, Rob. Do it. Be the guy.
I will not be the guy. I will not be... I will say, Carlos Correa, in a normal world, have fun. Celebrate your home run. Good for you.
I have no issue with the celebration. It's more just that I feel like I've seen this movie before. And it's, as a Sox fan, understandable. Again, the 2018, they took care of business. But for the most part, in the last 5 years, this is what the Astros do. They get home field, and they beat you at their home field. And that's why today's game is massively
striking.
Important.
Yeah, but it is striking that you go back to the list of teams, the Red Sox teams, and who have lost the first game of the ALCS. I mean, almost all the ones who won the World Series.
Yeah, so they're doing this on purpose. That's obviously
they are,
why they
absolutely.
Lost last night. Makes sense.
They absolutely.
Smart so, move, so, honestly.
He's a genius. Everyone's playing checkers. He's playing chess.
Yeah, so wait, what was the question? What was the question that got that sale answer?
It was just about Cora. Was, he just sort of fell into it after saying something else. The question that got the last answer from Sale, which I honestly thought he was going to cry. Like, I'm not even lying. I thought he was getting emotional and that he was going to cry. It was Butch Stearns, and he said something to the effect of, what would you want to say to the fans right now? Which is a good TV question.
Yeah.
What do you want to say to the fans? Don't give up on us. You know, don't give up. And we're not giving up. That was like right in the wheelhouse of Chris Sale. That was like Chris Sale, like head is going to explode. And you know, when you talk about Sale too, Steve, is that, you know, yeah, you're watching him out there and he's giving up all these hits and he's putting all these guys on. But isn't there an element, let me ask you this, isn't there an element when you see this fire-breathing dragon guy on the mound and you can say you have like five guys on the bases, he's going to figure out a way to get out of it because he's so darn intense?
Yeah, I mean, the intensity, and I don't know if it was just me noticing it last night as opposed to the other outings he's had in the last couple of weeks, which have all been bad. They've all been bad. But I feel like last night specifically, he had the glare. He had like the, oh, like, don't mess with me type of look. And I mean, I guess it kind of worked a little bit because it got him out of jams. I think the more intimidating you look, Rob, you know this. I mean, there's a stat for it.
Oh, my goodness.
The intimidating factor, the IF. The more you have that, your IF percentage, then obviously that means you get more outs. Thank God to Kike Hernandez. Oh, my goodness. We could do a whole show on Kike. For him catching that ball in the second inning when bases loaded, two outs.
Oh,
I believe that's when he makes that play. Keeps them in the game. Obviously, two home runs in the game as well. But I think that's what killed me last night is that if you're the Sox, you probably could have seen that coming. Realistically, going into that game, what did you actually expect, Rob, from Sale? Like, what? Like how many? I was thinking if he could have ever got to the fifth, that would have been a gift, which is insane to say about Chris Sale in game one of a postseason series. It's a gift if he goes five. That's why we're in this weird spot right now where a lot of people, myself included, and I don't question Cora. Again, he's way smarter than I am. But that's why you question a little bit. Why is Sale getting the ball in game one?
Yeah, but I've always fallen into the deep recesses of Chris Sale's eyes and said, he's going to figure this out.
Yeah,
and I've been wrong for the last three times. To be honest with you,
I don't think you're just saying that to say it though. I agree. Doesn't it feel like he's going to have one of those like, oh, this is our guy? It feels like he's going to have one of those starts. And I thought maybe it was going to be last night, even though he's sucked against the Astros.
I mean, he was pitching better than this with half an elbow ligament.
Right?
Like, you have to remember that.
Yeah.
So, I'm kind of sort of jumping still on that bandwagon. I think at some point he'll be effective. Now, once again, maybe we've stumbled into something where you say, all right, you know what? You want an impactful reliever for a couple innings? This is your guy because he's going to blow. You find the right matchups. You find the, quote, Steve, unquote, pocket. You love the pockets.
Oh, it's all about the pockets.
Oh, and there was a huge pocket there for who was it for? It was, I don't know. They had a bunch of righties coming out.
A bunch of pockets last night.
Ottavino. And yeah, Ottavino, yeah, yeah. They're like, Ottavino is a pocket guy. Go ahead, Nate. Put that on the card.
Ottavino, actually good. Good last night.
Because he had a pocket. He had a pocket of righties.
It's all about pockets.
All right. Well, again, 617-779-7937. We got anyone on the line there, Steve?
Yeah, we got David in Florida.
Optimistic David. What's
always
going
optimistic.
On, David?
What's up, David?
Optimistic David. I like that. You know, I appreciate the moniker.
How you doing?
I am optimistic.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm optimistic that I think do you think Sale is maybe just out of shape? Or that is, I mean, he's been playing in a long while. I mean, is he in baseball shape?
I will say this, David. David, I respect your opinion. I like you personally. But you're basically your opinion is the opposite of being right. Like, you can pick about like 10 things, and none of them would be. He's actually probably in the best shape of his life. Now, is he? I mean, what are you?
Particular?
I mean, David, I got to ask you. Like, what are you seeing? Like, are you seeing a guy with like his belly hanging over his belt?
Look, I mean, of course not. But I'm just comparing him to what he was, his best shape of his career versus what he is right now.
That's right. Why, and you know what? He is in the best shape of his career. I mean, we've seen times when he's coming up. This is what Tommy John guys do. David, all you have to know is that when you go through Tommy John, you become instantly in the best shape of your career because all you do is work out. He's actually got muscles now. This is not the reason he is pitching poorly.
And David, thanks for the call. David, thanks for the call. It sounds like he's underwater. I couldn't do it, Rob. But in terms of Sale being in shape, hasn't he looked the same his entire career? I mean, he's looked exactly the same his entire career.
I thought he got some muscles. Like, you went in some of those press conferences. Good for him. I mean, listen, I think if we come out of this year and say, hey, you know what? Chris Sale didn't pitch very well, but you got some muscles. Good for him.
Exactly, which gets you a little bit more credit if you have some muscles. Coop is on the line. Our guy, Coop. What is up, Coop? How you doing? Hey, how you feeling, Coop? That was a tough loss.
I'm feeling good because yesterday I told everyone, Sox and five. They're gonna lose Sox the first one. Gentlemen, sweep their way out of it.
Okay, that's you genuinely think Sox and five?
So Coop didn't even watch last night's game. As long as they have four, that's all I need.
He intentionally skipped game one because he knows Sox and five. Coop, how you feeling, man? What's going on?
Exactly. There's no point in watch. I'm good. So I just want to say, Chris Hill's gonna be fine. It is what it is. He's going to learn how to David's point. He's not out of shape. He's pitching with a whole new elbow right now. So he's going to be trying to figure that out. Anyone who's pitched and like has had an injury will know that like as soon as you come back, you're not going to be thrown the same way because you might be wary of how you're throwing, how much pressure you can put on it. So that's why he's missing big. He's not missing small when he's missing his spots. He's missing big, which scares me, whatever. He'll be fine next season, I think. The main issue here is Lou Maloney losing his head over this ball boy. I'm concerned, extremely concerned for the ball boy's life. He needs witness protection program.
He's not wrong, like, Coop.
Coop, isn't he right, though? Like, I mean, what is that ball boy, first off, what is he doing there? Why is he in that spot? You're essentially in play.
To get the ball, Steve.
No, but I'm saying in that spot down the line, he can't be a little further down. I agree with Lou.
Guys.
No, I get that. That's a ball that would have gone all the way down to the corner there, and I get that would have been another run. But there are so many different things that Lou can focus on with his brilliant baseball mind that he can, like, shed some, like, insight into. Why does this team keep hitting it to double plays with a man on first?
They love
that. Why are they stranding men on base so much, not just that man on first situation? And, like, why is the ball being hung out over the plate for probably one of the best postseason hitters right now, Jose Altuve?
Yeah.
So it is insane for me for Lou to just transfix on this one thing that, yeah, it's out of our control and maybe the umpire should have intervened on that. But there's so many things in the Red Sox control that could easily be fixed, and I think they will fix it because they're a great team, that he could talk about. So I challenge Lou to stop focusing on
challenge.
That.
Challenge. We have a don't challenge from Coop. Oh, my goodness.
Don't transfix on the ball boy. Don't turn this into a Peter Griffin and the chicken. You're better than that.
I love it, Coop. I love it, man. Wait, so you what do you think? You still think Sox and five? Because that's crazy.
Hoping for a Sox and five. I the way this team plays at Fenway, which, you know, if you watch the Red Sox for the last 2 to 3 years, they've stunk it up at Fenway. But being home in the playoffs in front of this crowd, they play out of their minds. So I'm hoping for a gentleman's sweep.
Ooh. Okay, he's hoping. Coop, I will give you a free pizza if they have a gentleman's sweep.
And if you know what comes with a gentleman's sweep,
baby.
Okay,
you know what comes with a gentleman's sweep, a tip of the chapeau from me.
Exactly. So you get a tip of the chapeau and a free pizza. So, Coop, as always, thank you for the call. He is a live BP show Hall of Fame caller.
Yes, and I will tell you why. You know, first of all, Lou has like 100 million hits on his breakdown.
I mean,
video
that thing blew up. That was the first video I saw this morning. I was like, wow,
so,
this is great.
Yeah, listen, we're gonna be. I applaud Lou for doing it. I love those sort of things.
We should play the audio.
We should. Oh, let's do that. Yeah,
after the break.
But we're also hyper focused on anything cheating here, right?
Yes.
Anything here cheating, and you know what? You know who doesn't cheat you? McFarlane Energy. Steve. That's who doesn't cheat.
I fully agree.
They'll
totally
give
agree.
You the best deal, an honest deal every single time. And Speaking of a best deal and honest deal, we're going to keep on moving here. We're going to keep on moving. I see the phone lines all lit up.
They are lit up.
It's a great day to talk baseball. We are the most popular game in town today. I'm not talking about the actual Red Sox game. I'm talking about Live BP. I'm Rob Bradford. That's Steve Perrault. All you who are on the lines, hang on. All you who are not on the line, feel free to jump on in. 617-779-7937. We're going to be on with you all the way up to the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network pregame show with Mutt. And that, of course, leads to the great Will Fleming and Joe Castiglione live from Minute Maid Park, which is where I am at. But Steve Perrault is back in Brighton, ready to trend.
NFL Sunday, this Sunday before the game.
Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now is brought to you by Budweiser, the major league beer. Monday before Game 3 of the ALCS, watch WEEI's Merloni and Fourier show live from 2 to 6 p.m. at the Bullpen on Jersey Street. Brought to you by Budweiser, the major league beer. I love the Bullpen, by the way, Rob. I went there for the first time this year.
It
is
It
is a fine location, I must say. It gave me a little bit of a baseball tavern vibe, which was very good. The Red Sox lost game one of their best of seven series against the Astros last night, 5-4. Chris Sale went 2 2/3, allowing one run. Tanner Houck and Hansel Robles each gave up a bomb in relief. Kike Hernandez continues to be absolutely incredible at baseball. He has set a postseason record with 12 hits in a four-game span. Can you believe it?
Better than Mookie?
Way better than Mookie. Not even close. Verdugo is way better than him. Game two of the ALCS is this afternoon. 4:20 is the first pitch. Pre-game is 3:20 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Nathan Eovaldi will take the hill for game two this evening. You can hear the game right here across the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network, as well as streaming on the Odyssey app across all six New England states. Shaq Mason has been ruled out for tomorrow's Patriots game against the Cowboys. Eight Patriots are listed as questionable. The Patriots host the Cowboys tomorrow. Kickoff is at 4:25 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Bruins, sticky puck, they are finally back. They begin their season tonight as they host the Dallas Stars. Puck drop at 7 p.m. In their final preseason game, the Celtics lost to the Heat 121-100, which, oh, that's so brutal. I was crying all night about it. The Celtics start the regular season on Wednesday when they head to MSG to play the New York Knickerbockers. The Revs host Chicago Fire FC at 7 p.m. And Boston College plays 22-ranked NC State, kickoff at 7:30. Maybe BC. Maybe. Just maybe they could sneak into the top 25 with a win tonight. We will see. That is what's trending now on WE.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Time now for the live BP baseball show.
Ball point, boom, net, net, ball, net, done.
With Rob Bradford and Steve Peralt.
Throw a ball to the stick, man.
More baseball talk now.
We have some pillows. We have some pillows on the dirt.
Bradford and Peralt on WEEI.
So she tied a little money, need a big boy. Pull up 20-inch blades like I'm Lil' Troy. Now it's everybody flocking, need a decoy. Shorty mixing up the vodka.
You guys having a dance party back there without me?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Come on. Let's go.
Who is that, Rob? You know who that is?
That's Lil Weezy.
Lil' Robbie B.
Lil' Robbie B. That is Post Malone.
Post Malone, yeah,
it's your boy.
Got the tats all over his face.
Yeah, well, okay, you know Post Malone.
Of course.
I thought that was a coin flip if you would know Post Malone or not.
Come on.
Of course. You're like, I know Post Malone.
And I do also know that I'm at Minute Maid Park.
You
Steve
are.
Peralt is holding down the fort back in Brighton. This is the live BP baseball show. 617-779-7937. Getting you ready for Red Sox baseball pregame show with the great Mike Mananski. Will be coming up just after the 3 o'clock hour. That leads up to Joe Castiglione and Will Fleming, who are sitting right in front of me in the press box, in the booth, in the broadcast booth. Right now, I'm setting the scene for you.
Love the scene
setters.
We have
some Red Sox players and Astros players in the outfield talking to each other.
I don't like that.
I think this is against the rules.
Yep.
But, you know, we'll look into that after the game. First question, Alec Cora, after the Red Sox win, of course. But, you know, Steve, I think the best way to approach this, because everyone's riled up over last night, everyone's excited over what's going to happen, we got to go to the calls, right?
Yes, correct? We have to. The phone lines are lit up right now, Rob. We have to go to the calls.
All right, take charge of that.
We are going to Steve in Centerville. Steve, how are you? You have a great name.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Bradfo and Steve, I'd love to hear your breakdown or more breakdown on the lack of clutch hitting last night. And just sort of what you see as the keys for the Sox to score some more runs. You know, the way my look at the game last night, I mean, we're talking a lot about pitching, but frankly, if you're only going to throw up four runs against this team, you're not going to win any game. So, you know, my deal is if the Sox can't score 6-7 runs, you're going to go home.
Steve,
so I'll leave it at that. You guys do a great job.
Appreciate that, Steve.
Thanks
for the call. Rob, what are your thoughts on the lineup?
Well, he's absolutely right.
He is,
you know,
right.
We focus so much on the pitching, and but really, you know, yeah, you had the couple bad pitches. That was unfortunate for the Red Sox, but they had a chance to really put the dagger in Framber Valdez. I mean, they absolutely did. They had so many opportunities. And listen, the Houston Astros had their opportunities too. They didn't come through either. But you know, I look at last night, if you're talking about the vibe test of that lineup last night,
yeah.
Kyle Schwarber, not great vibes, not great at bats. Verdugo, not. I know he had one hit, but not great vibes. Had a terrible at bat. Xander Bogaerts, JD, no. And Xander Bogaerts, you know, these guys like Bogaerts and Martinez, they have to be like Correa. They have to be like they have to match the Houston Astros middle of the order, don't you think?
No, I fully agree. I mean, it's very hard for me, especially looking at last night, where all along I'm not surprised the Astros did exactly what they did, which is come from behind and have their guys, Altuve and Correa, like you mentioned, be the big bats and get the home runs that they needed to put them over the top. But it's hard to get on the Red Sox lineup when they've dominated the postseason. They've absolutely taken over and have led the Red Sox to this point. Of course, you've had some timely pitching. Houck was huge. Pivetta was huge in the ALDS. That was big for the Sox. And since then, Houck has given up a couple bombs. That's not great. But it's really hard for me to get too upset about the lineup when they scored more runs than anybody in the postseason. They have more hits, the highest OPS. I mean, you're going to have a game like last night where you're not coming through at all, you know, clutch at bats. So I can't really, I can't be over here like, oh, my God, they cost them.
Yeah, but this is the thing, Steve. You, in this series, you can't leave opportunities.
Oh, of course, of course. Okay, because, especially against Valdez, who's killed you. He was their daddy all season. And well, so they had a chance to really, really knock him out, and they didn't take it.
And you know, he isn't the same pitcher that he was when he faced the Red Sox early in the year, clearly. Yeah. I mean, you did not fear that guy who was on the mound last night.
They didn't either.
So I think you're going up against a Houston team that I think every single postseason game they've had this season, which is, I don't know, five or six or whatever it is, they've scored at least five runs. Yeah. Like, so you know what you have to do. You better score five runs.
Yeah, especially with the Sox rotation where it's at. You have Chris Sale as an opener. Nathan Eovaldi. How many times is Eovaldi going to bail him out? That's what I'm worried about, not just today, but the rest of the postseason here, the rest of the series. How often are you going to have Nathan Eovaldi have to be the guy that goes six innings, gives up one run, strikes out eight? Like, he can't do that every single time, especially in Houston against this lineup. The Astros lineup, I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, Rob, but it feels like since late August, I think they were a 500 team. They really were just kind of cruising to the finish line. But doesn't it kind of remind you of like the Chiefs or something? Like, I guess a bad example because this year they're under 500. But a team that's just kind of cruising to a bye, and then in the playoffs they're like, we are going to own you. That is when we are waiting for. That is when we're, you know, building up to. And it kind of feels like that's what Houston's doing and has done the last like month and a half.
But I could say that about the Rays. The Rays are doing the same thing.
No, I know. And they were 500 club in that same span as well.
But I do think the Eovaldi situation is important because – you know, you have Chris Sale last night standing outside the dugout after the game with the media, and he said, "There's not a pitcher on the planet that I would want more than Nathan Eovaldi tomorrow, pitching tomorrow." All right, you know, we know how they feel about Eovaldi. We know what Eovaldi has done, but if Eovaldi can go out today and pitch like he did pitch last couple times, Steve, you've seen these postseason runs. You need that guy. You need the Beckett. You need the Lester.
Yeah, absolutely. You normally need two.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You need two. But you need that guy in who you know is on such a roll that when they take the mound, like it's the same as Beckett in 2007, down 3-1 in Cleveland. All right, you want to put my ex-girlfriend out swinging the national anthem?
That was crazy.
Well, I'm gonna pitch eight shutout innings against you. There you go.
You know the vibes?
I can't. You know the vibes? I still can't believe they did that. That was in Cleveland, right?
Oh, it was the best.
What a hilarious
thing. Beckett's response to it was, I appreciate them giving my friend a ticket or free ticket.
Oh, that's funny. I like that. Josh Beckett, a guy that I know you interviewed, but I feel like he kind of stays away from that. He doesn't really want to be
in the pandemic, I talked to him a couple times, including like he is on my power rankings of random phone calls in the middle of the night during the pandemic. He was number one with a bullet.
So. Has to be. No, but I fully agree. You need a guy like Beckett. But is Eovaldi that guy? That's where I'm stuck on.
Yeah, it's a good question, Steve, right? I mean, because I think this is sort of the Nathan Eovaldi thing all year. We're just waiting for it to sort of fall off the cliff because it always had, either through injury or performance. So when we're saying, is he that guy? Is he the guy who, as Chris Sale said, the pitcher that you want on the mound today more than anybody else on the planet?
Yeah, which makes you feel great. Makes you feel great. A classic Rob Bradford. I don't know. Whatever. I feel great about today because of that sound effect right there. That's what I feel great about. Wally's been waiting for a while. We should have Wally hop on here. Wally in Fall River. Wally, how you doing?
What's up, guys? Very disappointing loss, but I followed these guys a long time since 61. So I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly with this team. I've seen Dick Stewart, Dr. Strangelove in the flesh. Felix the Catman T at second base. But you got to win today. You have to. You don't want to go back to Fenway 0-2. But you see how the game has changed. It's all a matter of bullpens. It's not your ace against my ace. We don't really have a map. We have our all-star closer on the he's not even on the roster. But like you guys said, you can't have any squander. You got to go score four or five runs early and hold them off. But I think this series, guys, is going to go seven games. But I think they're going to win today like 7-4, 7-5. It's going to be another close game, but there'll be more runs scored. But Houston just has a better bullpen. Tampa Bay, we've seen their bullpen a million times. These guys were a little unfamiliar with. We only played them seven times for the year. But It's going to be fun. We'll see what happens. We got to, you know, Ebaldi's got to go 6-7 innings.
Wally, thanks for the call, as always. Rob, I have a question for you. This is a very important question. I feel like we should elevate Wally to a live BP show Hall of Fame caller. What are your thoughts? I don't know what the criteria is. I think we just kind of made it up as we went along, like everything.
I respect Wally. He's a longtime caller. Let me ruminate on that.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't need to be decided on now. You have time.
But Wally, you know, the thing I like about Wally, number one, is that he's listened. He's called forever. He pays attention, obviously. But also, he goes through his points and, like, okay, you know what? Then he steps aside. It's good.
Exactly.
It's all good.
He understands how to call. He understands how to do this.
Yes.
He gets how this works, which and I think a lot of times we'll try to then have our point and it just gets cut off by the call. It's like, no, we're having a convo. Let us talk. That's what I love when the callers call into this show. Is when we can just have a convo with them and just chat. And just have a normal Red Sox breakdown instead of everyone talking over each other. And Wally gets that.
And I would say this, Steve Peralt of Section 10 and Odyssey and YBP show. Wally brings up the point about the relievers. You know, this has basically become a reliever game. And we love the Chris Sale storyline. Hey, Chris Sale, is he going to go 6-7? No, nobody goes 6 or 7 innings. But the thing for the Red Sox that we can't forget is that they need these guys to be good. We could talk about Chris Sale, but Hansel Robles, Ryan Brazier, Tanner Houck, those guys have to be good. And I saw that I think his tweet was in reference to you had last night 14 hours ago, and I've been thinking about it for the last 14 hours. You said he knew that pitch was coming. That was a Correa one?
No, that was Altuve. That was a joke.
Okay.
That was just a cheating joke. Yeah.
He didn't. Well, because Tom Verducci wrote this expansive story on how Carlos Correa set Hansel Robles up, and this home run was 10 years in the making. But no, he was blowing him away with fastballs.
He hit a high fastball. I don't think it's that complex.
I almost swore. He hit a crappy changeup.
That's a big one.
Yeah. Wow. Well, almost.
That was a change. How fast was that? That was a changeup. I guess it was like 90.
It was 90.
Okay. Yeah. A high pitch that was kind of sitting there, and he ripped it and stood there for about 20 minutes.
Being here, I was watching Robles' reaction as the ball, because when it left the bat, I'm like, oh, that's gone. It's not even a question.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pay my attention to somewhere else. So I pay my attention to Hansel Robles' reaction, and he's like leaning, like like he wants it to go foul. I mean, dude. That thing was like 30
That's like left
feet
center.
That was like a left center
over. I mean, maybe he's leaning to be like, I don't know, like a breeze coming over the train tracks and knock that thing down a little bit. I mean, doesn't it feel, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but I've never been to Houston. I want to go to that park. But doesn't it feel like that short porch gets shorter and shorter and shorter every time you watch a game in Houston? Any pop-up in left seems like it's gone. It's like the Yankee Stadium effect.
It's funny. I was actually in the workout day. I was having this conversation with Cora, and we're looking out there, and he said, find out how many homers have been hit, you know, just over that little ledge. And I'm thinking, well, don't you have people to do that other than me?
No, you have to be the guy. Everyone knows that Rob Bradford's the tape measurement guy to get
the distance.
The point
is well taken. I mean, you know, everyone talks about Fenway, but this is Fenway with half the wall.
I know.
Think about how many balls the guys hit at Fenway. Like, oh man, that would have been, you know, that was hit hard, but it only hit halfway up the wall, and we're gonna take a single here. It's a home run every time. Like that Correa hit was only like 350 feet or something like that.
Yeah, so it's the same. Aren't they both 315 to the wall, distance-wise, I think?
Yes, 315 to the wall, and like you said, it was literally, I don't know exactly how high that wall is, but if I had to guess, my eyes are telling me right now, it's half the height of the Fenway wall.
Maybe even less. It feels like it might even be less, but also, like, a dimension like that, and of course, they made Minute Maid Park back in, what, like 2000 or something? It's been around for over 20 years. When it was, what was it, Enron? What was the first one?
Oh my god! Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah. So when they made the park, it's not like they knew that they were going to have this lineup playing at Minute Maid Park, but this is the perfect lineup for this park. Like, you have Carlos Correa, Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman, all guys that are the familiar characters that can easily and intentionally lift the ball to left field. So that it gets out. And that's, I mean, Altuve, the amount of times that he's had that specific swing of just kind of flicking it out there, say whatever you want about Jose Altuve, trash cans or not, he's an all-time hitter. He is one of the best hitters in the history of baseball. and he's a very smart player. He knows with a certain pitch, and he can do this while the pitch is coming in. No, I could probably flick that thing over the wall in left field, and I'm going to do it. And he seemingly does that all the time. Now, the Tanner Houck pitch was, my goodness, yeah. If you were to you know, tell him the location of where not to put the ball, how not to throw it, that's what you would have said for that home run pitch to Altuve. That was right there on a platter for him to crush, and he did.
Steve, our live BP stats truck, otherwise known as Will Fleming, just in front of me, has shown me the height of the wall.
What do we got?
We have science. The science suggests that the wall at Fenway is 37 feet high. The wall here is 19 feet high.
Okay. So it's like exactly half.
Exact. There you go.
Yeah, maybe a little more. So.
All right, we're almost exactly halfway through this program, the Live BP show. We got about an hour and a half to go, which is great because we have the phone lines lit up. 617-779-7937. This is the great game of baseball being talked about today. That's Steve Perrault. I'm Rob Bradford. I'm live at Minute Maid Park in Houston. Steve back at Brighton. But we're all together in mind, spirit, and body.
Exactly.
Me.
Yes.
All right. So jump on in. Jump in the conversation. We got to take a quick break. Be back right after this.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Time now for the Live BP Baseball Show.
Ball, point, boom, net, net, ball, net, done.
With Rob Bradford and Steve Perrault.
Throw a ball to the stick, man.
More baseball talk now.
We have some pillows. We have some pillows on the dirt.
Bradford and Perrault on WEEI.
I'm going to tell you a story.
All right, Stiz on the ones and the twos.
A little foreshadowing, maybe. A little foreshadowing. I like this.
Like that?
I like this.
Doctor, there you go. Right. Today's a big game. And in case you don't know, this is a live BP show, and there's no better way to get ready for a big game and a big pregame show as well than by listening and joining on us on with us. 617.
That was a normal sentence.
That was. It was. I got caught there. It wasn't as bad my other one.
Oh, do we have the audio of the other one?
Nothing. The Red Sox could lose 10-1 if you play that sound of me doing what I do. That's all Steve needs. That's all. Steve
my favorite
needs.
Audio bite from this show is for doing what do for what doing.
If they did what they're insinuating that they did are doing.
How about the fact that I throw insinuating right in the middle of
I
that?
Know.
Boom.
That's, what a big word to throw in a fumbled a sentence.
Yes. All right. Well, we're not fumbling through this.
No.
We're steaming on into the first pitch. It has been great so far. It's going to continue to be great, and we're going to make that great by going back to the phone lines. Do the wheel of call, Steve.
Yes, we have Grant in North Carolina. Grant, how are you? Thank you for holding on there.
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Swell. Yeah. Not after the loss, but swell. It's a Saturday.
Yeah, I feel that. I'm just trying to gauge you guys' level of concern with the bullpen. I mean, last night was 3 straight games with a blown lead in the late innings. They got to get that under control.
Yeah, Grant, thanks for the call. Rob, the bullpen, what are your thoughts? I mean, last night, it's a big ask to go what? They had to go like 7 innings, basically. with the bullpen. Well, six and a third, I guess.
Yeah, but the thing is, the good part about it, I don't think any of those guys aren't available today.
Yeah, because they spread them out. I mean, you have Ottavino, Taylor, Brazier, Houck, Robles, and Sawamura, and Martin Perez got in there for a couple outs. So
there you go.
Your guy got in there. Exactly. So, I mean, overall, the bullpen... That's kind of what I expect. I mean, the only thing that surprised me is that Houck.
No, you got to be better than that.
No, I'm saying for this bullpen, the only thing that really surprised me was Tanner Houck.
Right. That's a guy. That's what I mean.
I'm saying he's got to be better. You're going to focus on one thing, it's Tanner Houck. That pitch was terrible. Altuve did what he's done so many times in the postseason and deposits it for a home run. But overall, I mean, when Sale comes out and Ottavino was in the game that early, I'm like, okay, everyone get ready. This is going to be a long night. And sure enough, I mean, it goes kind of how you expected. That game, the more it went on, the longer it went on, I'm like, they're coming. They're going to do something. they just feel like they're due. They're kind of like Jaws. Like, they're going to get you eventually.
They are like Jaws,
And that's always the feeling, especially in Houston, especially at the park you are at right now. That's what it always feels like.
Well, speaking of Tanner Houck, he is one of two people that I know that have read the Tom Brady book, The Four Agreements.
Yeah.
The other happens to be on the line with us. That's the great Mike Mananski.
Oh, Mutt's? Yeah, absolutely.
Mutt, are you there? Can you hear us?
Is Mutt here?
Hello. Check, 1, 2, 3.
He's a little light.
Yeah, he's a little light.
Hold on. Let me see.
Oh, there
am
we
I
go.
There? How's that sound?
Now he's super loud.
Hey, everybody.
Check 1, 2. What's going on?
I've only read the first agreement. What are the other three? That's all.
I don't know. Ask Tanner Houck. He was so happy when I told him Tom Brady also read the book.
I'm sitting here listening to – I listen to the station most of the day today, and I figured you guys were going to come on and make me feel better about my opinion of last night's game, and now I feel like I'm on an island by myself. So all you guys talk about the bullpen, obviously, and Chris Sale. Everyone's obsessed with Chris Sale. Kenny Curtis today spent 7 hours talking about the decisions. Like, my whole pregame show is built around how the offense failed. The first inning, they had four base runners, couldn't score. Three straight innings, they had runners on the fourth, fifth, and sixth. They didn't get runs home. They have to score in this series. They failed. Cora's talking about how great the offense approach was. They scored four runs, and if it wasn't for Kike and an error, they scored two runs in Houston. What are we talking
about
right now?
Isn't there something to be said, though, about how they're due to have a game where they're not scoring 20 runs? I mean, this was going to happen.
Steve, not against the Astros. No.
I understand what you're saying. There's a difference between they have to score runs, and I'm not like, oh, my God, how did they not score 8 runs? Like, I feel like they were kind of due to have a game like that.
Well, it's clearly because the stool.
It had to be. Spend the rest of the show on the ball boy.
I want to, first of all, before you go on, I want to mark this moment in history as the first time that you've ever come on a show and workshopped your pregame show.
I like that. It's a little tease.
I feel like I'm going insane.
Now he's late. Now he can't hear him again. Now he can't hear him again.
How's that?
Oh, there we go. You're good.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to produce and talk. I can't. This stupid machine. I can barely speak into it, Steve, like you. I can't produce. I'm not a superstar like you are.
Oh,
so I'm just trying to speak into it. But, again, the third inning where they scored 3 runs,
yeah.
Altuve kicked their ball around at second base. So if that doesn't happen, they do nothing against a guy in Framber Valdez who sucked last night.
He was terrible.
This is without Kike in that error. They score 1 runs or get shut out last night in Houston against a guy who could not find the strike zone. And I feel like we're going crazy about Sale and Tanner Houck and the bullpen. Although Sawamura also sucked last night. Throw a strike, would you please?
But that was an embarrassing
offensive effort last night.
Sawamura, I can confirm. I talked to him before the game. He's gained 3 pounds since spring training. So there you go.
Oh, okay. That's probably why he can't throw a strike.
225 in spring training. But, Mutt, I want to take issue with your criticism of us. Because I wrote this. If you read it, I wrote it. That's what I said. Chris Sale is not the story. He's not the story. He wasn't the story. I don't care what Kenny Curtis talked about.
He's got to be part of the story.
No, but he's not the story. The story of last night's game. If we're going to power rank storylines, it is absolutely what Mutt's talking about. And we said this before. We did say this on the show, which is you need Bogarts to beat Correa. You need Martinez to beat Gurriel. You know, you need these guys to be the guys. And they simply weren't. And that includes our guy, Schwarbs.
Our guy, Schwarbs. I mean, maybe I'm being naive here, but like I'm not that worried about the offense considering what they've done this postseason. If this happens again today, if we have another instance of like 3 or 4 runs, and Mutt, you mentioned Kike. Without that Kike catch, I mean, that could have gone south real quick.
He was awesome.
He was incredible.
Yeah. You made it mentioned before, Steve, before Rob just told the world our guys have to be the guys, which is similar to Chris Sale saying to run a marathon, you got to run a marathon or something like that.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said. Yeah.
You said it before, Steve. Like, we could do an hour on Kike. No, not when you lose. Like, last night's game, unfortunately, that is going to be a race in the memory of sports in a month from now. No one's going to remember the home runs or the catch.
If they lose
this series, it's going to be about Correa and Altuve and the stupid ball boy down the line. And that ridiculous, Correa doing the watch thing after the game. Kike is going to be forgotten by everyone except for you and except for the Hernandez family.
Yeah,
that is a reality.
Which matters. And we always send gifts to the families of the best players. So they will.
Do?
Yeah, they will remember. Edible arrangements. Yeah, we send.
We used to give gifts. I mean, Rob will remember this. We used to do player of the game after the game. They would get some sort of gift.
They would.
Do I remember? I still have a stack of Davio's gift cards in my trunk.
That's incredible. No, you're right. It is on the lineup, but I can also say it's on the lineup, but I'm not concerned about the lineup. I think both those things can be true.
See, I guess I am, because against Framber Valdez, if you score barely four runs with an error and Kike kicking ass out there.
Yeah.
Like, are they ready to score with this Houston team? Because they roll out of bed and score five or six runs. And last night, they got a little bit lucky. You know, Kike made that great play in center field, a couple of tough hops for Houston. Like, they're going to score against Eovaldi today. And if the Red Sox can't score against Garcia, you're going back down 0-2.
Well, but you just said it, Mutt. I mean, I think this is the saving grace with this team right now. Number one, as Steve said, they have been hitting. They're a good offensive team. You don't think, oh, my goodness, how are they going to score runs? This isn't like 2017 Devin Marrero in the lineup. And the other part about this, there's no Astros starter. I think this goes underplayed a little bit. There's no Astros starter where you're like, oh, man, you can't face that guy. Like, who?
Yeah, they should be able to score on whoever's out there. Yes. And if anything, that goes more to Mutt's point of
they should
score more runs. Yeah.
Again, go through it. They had opportunities last night, and maybe you guys can convince me that it was the right move, but Sauermura on this roster, we talked about it, Rob, I think, at a little bit at the end of last night's pregame show, over Matt Barnes, who gets some good matchups in this series and has at least playoff experience. Sauermura looked scared on the mound last night. And it's a small nitpick, I guess, but couldn't they have taken him out after those three batters? What do they really want to make him face Altuve for the sacrifice fly there? Couldn't they have gone to the pen and gotten somebody in that spot? Is Cora trying to save everyone for today? With the bases loaded, nobody out. That insurance run meant something when Kike hit that home run in the ninth inning.
But think about this, though. You know, when you talk about the bullpen in the postseason and their runs go back to 2018, like, you didn't have to get to that level of relievers. Like, you didn't have to get to Sauermura, and you didn't have to get to Martin Perez. It was basically that run. It was Brazier. It was Barnes. It was somebody else that I'm missing. And then it was Porcello and Valdi and Sale up to Kimbrel. That was it. That was it. You know why? Because all those starters were going at least 4 2/3 innings or 5 innings or maybe even 6.
Yeah, which you can't really expect. I mean, that's why we mentioned Eovaldi earlier in the show. There is a lot of pressure now on Eovaldi, and understandable, he's got whatever, a 1.7 postseason ERA or whatever it is. But if you keep constantly going back to Eovaldi being like, you have to go 6, you got to hold one of the best lineups that I've ever seen, you know, in this stretch here of 5 years, you got to hold them in check. You constantly keep doing that, it's going to kill you. At some point, he's going to have a stinker like he did against the Yankees a couple weeks ago.
Well, you guys get a million calls. I get it. I just want to agree with David in Florida. I'm not sure Chris Sale's in shape. I don't think so.
Oh, no.
What a fat tub of goo, huh? I mean,
no.
Oh, my goodness.
He looks the same. He's got muscles, Mike.
And I saw
that.
I'm like, really? Really? We're going to... okay.
Of all things.
David's had a lot of rough takes. His take today would have been good. He doesn't think Devers is good defensively. And after last night, that misplay at third, that would have been the note to play, not the Chris Sale's not in shape play. But you guys sound great. I love listening to you. Listen all afternoon here. We'll see what they do here in game two.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll talk to you in a couple hours.
All right, boys.
That's great. Mike Manansky, this is Live BP Show. We're going to take a break. That's Steve Peralt. I'm Rob Bradford, live from Minute Maid Park. Steve's in Brighton. Doesn't matter. We're talking baseball. The great game of baseball can talked about all over this great globe of ours. And we're proving that today, Steve.
We are.
I just Houston is not in Brighton.
My favorite thing is always your tosses to break, because I'm like, I don't know where this is going. Let's keep it rolling here. Over the great globe, we are talking baseball.
Hey, in synopsis, baseball.
Baseball's the winner.
Ball boy, can we move? We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.